Well, it's still very much a tale of the reflation trade, with bonds being sold off and commodities rising in price, helping push the Aussie dollar up again. But US equities are on the rise too, as central bankers are challenging each other to see who can sound the most dovish. Jerome Powell and Andrew Bailey have both been in front of parliamentary committees on either side of the Atlantic, and the RBNZ made their policy announcement yesterday. All very dovish. No concerns about inflation. And today, it's all about jobs. We get the weekly job numbers from the United States. And on the home front, what impact will an end to JobKeeper have? We might not have to wait too long to find out. It's Thursday, the 25th of February, 2021. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. Well, small moves in the US dollar. It's 0.6% rise against the Japanese yen has been somewhat counteracted by a 0.4% rise in the Aussie dollar and the Canadian dollar. They've been helped by commodities, with both the WTI and Brent oil up about 2.5%, I should say, this morning, and copper up another 1.5% to its highest level in years. In fact, you've got to go back to August 2011. And it's a similar story with iron ore trading near 9-year highs. US equity have bounced back more than 1% for the Dow, 0.8% for the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. The S&P helped by Tesla, which is rising more than 5%. It's all over the place, isn't it, Tesla, at the moment? And bond yields are rising, 3 basis points on 10-year treasuries, up to 1.37%. It kicked off the session close to 1.43%, which is a new pandemic high. And Canadian 10 years are up 7 basis points as well. Not quite the same level of movement in Europe, but yields are up there too. So Jerome Powell can take the rap for some of this. He's been talking at a congressional hearing. Let's look at why with David DeGaris, Director of Economics for Markets at NAB. He's in Melbourne at the moment. It's amazing there's any response at all, because all he's been doing really is iterating what he's been saying all along: lower interest rates for longer. But look at that response. Equities are up, bond yields, bond prices, I should say, are tumbling. Yields are higher than they have been. Where does this end?
Good morning, Phil. Obviously, he thinks that he needs to beat that drum even louder than what he did the day before. I mean, you don't often get these sort of responses to return testimonies on the second day. You know, it's pretty much a repeat, but certainly, like this market just turned around after Powell was speaking, and it's pushing back hard, Phil, on inflation concerns about overheating. So, you know, saying things like, we may take 3 years to reach our inflation goals. So yeah, we're worried about unemployment remaining high, the labour market far from maximum employment. Some prices are rising, but inflation is a process that takes year after year after year. So it's not something that we should be worried about, because you get a transient increase in inflation rates. So pushing back very hard on that. So, you know, equity markets just liked that news and took off as a result. You saw the industrial commodity prices lift. You said copper, all the base metals, oil. And, of course, in oil, you've got, some near-term supply shortages and, you know, the impact of the polar blast in across the US, and you've got, you know, signs of demand returning. So, expectations that it'll return. So, you know, that's really lifted all the energy stocks. And as I look at the screen right now, Aussie's pretty close to just under 79.50, 79.42 as we speak this morning, Phil.
And we're seeing that movement in bond yields is quite pronounced as well. We saw $61 billion in 5-year notes being auctioned today at 0.62%. The previous auction was 0.42%. So there's plenty of movement at the station, as they say.
Yes. And as you said, the US 10-year trading at 1.38. That's actually traded up to 1.43 intra-session. And you've got Aussie 10-year futures up, implied yield of 6.5 basis points. So up to, 1.68 nearly. So, you know, that's going to reverberate through the Australian market today. But been very much led by equities, been led by the commodity price stories, and you've got bond yields and equities rising and the risk currencies as well, such as the Aussie dollar and Kiwi front and centre, and, of course, the other commodity currencies.
It's scarcely worth mentioning new home sales, but I mean, for reasons of completeness, we had them in the United States. They were high too, up 4.3% in January. Basically, that is twice what was expected. But we've said it before that the lumber prices seem to be pushing them perhaps artificially high at the moment. If we look at mortgage applications yesterday for the week of the 19th of February, they're a lot worse than expected. So
yes.
Ho-hum.
Yes, I think that's the story, Phil, that the demand impetus through late last year and into the first part of this year has been exceptionally strong. And that's now resonating in these new home sales numbers. But you've got the pushback now that's occurring, the recalibration from the increase in bond yields. So you've had that big push up in 10 and 30-year yields. So that's feeding through to mortgage rates. And that seems to have quelled demand for the time being. But, you know, what happens on the other side of the pandemic when people start to get jobs again and start to think about housing and the like, and real mortgage rates are still very low. So I think the story there is still a positive one, but the numbers today were strong.
Now, I'm calling today's podcast The Battle of the Doves. Not that I think, I don't know if doves ever have battles. I can't imagine them. They'd be like, if doves are fighting, they would go, you go first. No, you go first. They'd never get around to it. But the reason I'm calling it that is because Jerome Powell is obviously dovish. Andrew Bailey from the Bank of England, also in front of a government committee today, and Ben Broadbent as well. Very dovish as well. And talking hypotheticals, Ben Broadbent said basically, hypothetically, yes, they could reverse the QE that they've got at the moment if the bank rate reaches 1.5%, but that's way off. The strength of the pound is really to do with continued hope of the lockdown timetable and the rollout of vaccines. But the same thing, inflation's a long way off, still uncertainty, yada yada. I think they just got the same script. They just changed the word England from the United States, didn't they?
Certainly, Andrew Bailey and his team were brushing aside concerns about inflation, weren't they, when they were appearing. So, they mentioned that the data they're seeing doesn't show that inflation's overshooting its target. They're more worried about the pace of the rebound and, scarring of the labour market. And what they're seeing in the bond market is not worrying them about inflationary expectations at this point. And even, you mentioned Ben Broadbent, Jonathan Haskell from Bank of England, worried about potential downside risks to the economy, like something like a super variant that might see yet another lockdown. I don't think the Prime Minister of UK wants to hear that sort of news. So it was very much of that ilk that we spoke about from the Fed chair. And also Fed Governor Brainard was speaking about their maximum employment objective, and that mentioned that, before the pandemic, Phil, even when the unemployment rate, had a three handle, they want this recovery to be an inclusive recovery. And when the unemployment rate had a three handle, communities that saw, much higher rates of unemployment. So, they think they've got a long way to go. So, once again, beating the same drum. I don't know, doves don't beat drums, do they? But they were mixing metaphors.
How many mixed metaphors can we play here? Exactly. We're mixing metaphors like it's going out of fashion. But look, let's go to another one then, because also in the doves, the RBNZ, even though New Zealand's got virtually no cases, they're still saying, our outlook, it's uncertain. It's going to require patience.
Yes.
No change to the approach. Also saying no extra stimulus is required, but, we're not out of the woods yet. There's another metaphor for you.
No, it's an interesting story, that one, that there's no doubt that, the lack of infections and, that's paid dividends for both New Zealand and Australian economies. And the interesting thing is that while the title of their report was prolonged monetary stimulus needed, so that's pretty clear messaging, isn't it? Mm. But when you actually look at their forecasts for the economy and how they've changed, in fact, you could say the same thing about the Reserve Bank, it's sort of emblematic of an improving economy. And that sort of reduces further the chance of them going down the negative interest rate path, although they did point out that operationally they're ready to do that if need be, but there's no signal that they're about to do that. But, they've raised their forecast for inflation. They've lowered their forecast for the unemployment rate. So there is a message under there that recognises the improving economy. But once again, the top line policy message you said is that they're in no rush to change policy, certainly by tightening policy, and they're going to keep policy very accommodative for quite some period of time yet.
Yeah,
now, that's their intention. Whether the economy continues to overshoot, I think it's still a possibility, but that's something the market will deal with in time.
Now, everyone's looking at any number that might indicate inflation, so no surprise then that they will have been looking at the wage growth numbers yesterday in Australia, 0.6% rise Q on Q in December, still, you know, a long way off anything that's going to have the RBA consent. But I think also, I mean, there's always a reason for not always, but sometimes there's a reason. I think the reason for that was that people who'd taken pay cuts to help their companies get through the pandemic, a lot of those pay cuts were rolled back. So it's an artificial number in a way.
Yes, which also means that the previous numbers were a little bit artificial too. But the year-on-year comparison is the one probably to look back there, which cuts right across those effects, and that's still running at 1.4. So you've got real wages which are flat and nominal wages growing at 1.4. So nowhere near threatening the inflation target. When you know, those pay tax cuts might have been reversed, but there's still a lot of wages out there that are flatlining at the present time. So wages are going nowhere for a little while yet, Phil. So yeah. Nothing in that to scare the Reserve Bank, nothing at all.
So, I'm sure the RBA, along with a lot of other people, are going to keep an eye on what happens if Josh Frydenberg finishes the JobKeeper program at the end of next month. I mean, they're saying 1.1 million people are expecting will still be on it at the end of the March quarter, but they expect that most of them are going to remain in their existing jobs after the program finishes. Let's hope so, because 1.1 million is still a heck of a lot of people, isn't it?
It is a big number. I think a high proportion of those are still in the most disaffected sectors like hospitality, cafes, restaurants, travel agencies, related to the airline industries and the like. And there's been some pretty big hints from the Australian government that they will extend support for the most disaffected sectors. So it's not going to be
across the board
a hard border at the end of March, as it were.
Right. Okay. Well, we get new CapEx numbers for Australia for today. Are there going to be any surprises there? And we also, in the United States, durable goods orders and those initial jobless claims, those numbers that are refusing to move down in any great quantity, aren't they?
They've been very high. So I think there's a lot of people out there looking at what's happening in Washington. And, of course, the Congress wants to put the bill on the president's desk in the next couple of weeks so they can get this bill passed in March. So that's their immediate priority.
So I wonder if I can find a sound effect of doves fighting.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, well, hang on. Here's one. There's another. Yeah, no, they're not going to fight, are they? That's it for today. We'll catch you next time, Dave.
Will do, Phil. Cheers.
And that is it. That's the morning call for this Thursday morning. And I'm Phil Dobby for NAB. I'll catch you again tomorrow morning. Have a great day.